Welcome to The Ether. Today is Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by LuArt. LuArt is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. LuArt provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the Dystope AI AMA hosted by Super Terra. Let's take a listen.
Hello, hello.
Kyle's here. Captain Jitter's here. What's going on, everyone? 8 a.m. in Melbourne. I'm feeling good. Just woke up, though. So, today we are catching up with Super Terra, who will be joining soon for a bit of an AMA. We've taken questions from the Dystope AI AMA channel. So, feel free to post questions there or at the end, request to get on the mic as well. We'll kick off soon. Super Terra's here. Hey, how are you going?
Yeah, very well, thank you, and appreciate the invite to this exciting AMA.
Thank you so much for having us, for hosting us. Everyone, this was like such a last-minute request, so big shout-out to Super Terra for getting involved, but then also to Finn from Terra Spaces for hopping on to record too. Please do support your local podcasters, tip that man. But yeah, super excited to dive into this. Maybe we'll give it a couple of minutes for people to filter in.
Mm-hmm.
There's Rosie. Rosie, my man, what's up?
Morning, David. How are we doing?
Yeah, good. For those that don't know, it's 8 a.m. here in Melbourne. We had a bit of a late one pushing the Hellcats launch last night. So, yeah. But very excited, very, very excited.
9 p.m. for me, and I must confess, I have a beverage of a very slight alcohol nature next to me, a beer. So the beauty of worldwide calls.
Nice. I'm very jealous. It's not even a tea for me. I'm going to go grab a glass of water.
Sounds like a good evening.
Oh, Super Terra, I'm much in need of a beer as well. I'm shattered.
Yeah, well, I've just finished my, in inverted commas, day job. So I thought, right, beer and wine for an hour and then straight on with this. So, no, excited to get some of the answers that have been posed in the Discord. But we'll just wait for the water to be ready.
No. Long time no speak there. How are you doing?
Cool. Well, this Spaces will be recorded as well, everyone. Thanks to Finn. Thanks to Terra Spaces. Yep, if you have to filter in and out, that's fine. As you have questions, please post them in the Discord as well, in the AMA channel, or at the end, feel free to request the mic, hop on and ask us directly. Maybe we can kick off. Super Terra, like, happy to be guided by you today.
Absolutely. Thank you. So we have a whole raft of questions that have come in over the last, I think it's less than 24 hours since this was all set up. I'll kick off from the top. So first question, are people only able to morph Terra NFTs?
Yeah. And so for those not in the loop, I guess there are some new faces in this Twitter spaces I haven't seen. Basically, we're here from Dystope AI. Rosie and I are from the team, and we use AI to be able to create images based on text. So all the collection images you see on LuArt were created using only text and text from our lore. So basically, we allow people to morph images every month, morph NFTs every month, and have them delivered as NFTs. So that's part of the utility you get as a Dystope AI holder. The question was, are people only able to morph Terra NFTs? And the answer is no. They can morph any NFT or any image they want.
Excellent. Nice and simple. I think the next question is almost made redundant by this one as well. Are people only able to morph NFTs they own?
Yeah,
so I think you gave a clue there.
Yeah, so there's a bit of nuance here. I think whereas, you know, in the past 2 or 3 years, copyright law in NFTs has been non-existent. You see, like, collections ripping off other collections sometime. I think, like, it's going to become an emerging legal issue. You've already seen Lava Labs, so the creators of CryptoPunks, come out with like a lawsuit against a collection that ripped off their content willy-nilly. So that's Flipped Punks. We're telling people to only morph NFTs they own. And I think, you know, there's nuance to that. So there's, you know, laws like fair use law, where if you alter an image enough, it's okay. But we're telling people, hey, only morph NFTs you own, just to be safe. We don't assume any liability for any copyright infringement with the technology.
I want to throw in a slight tangent question, which is kind of related to it. My understanding is it doesn't necessarily have to be an NFT that you could submit to be morphed. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And I think, it really opens up the creative potential of what you can do. For example, Kyle, who's on the call, Kyle Working, is a photographer, and put in like some lovely pictures of some birds that he photographed, or I believe he photographed. So, yeah, the creative potential to do things with other things you've created, you know, if you're a photographer, if you're an artist, if you're a designer, are really huge. And it doesn't have to be things you've created either, necessarily. So long as, you know, that there are no issues with copyright, I think you're free to experiment with the AI.
Excellent. So the key is, so long as you've got permission or you own it, you're good. But if you're not sure, probably don't submit, because you could at a later point find yourself unable to share. So I guess that's the key. So moving on to the next question, quite a lengthy one, this one. How much does the AI know about pop culture? For instance, have you tried, or can you morph things like sports logos, the Terra or the Luna logo? Also, what about historical real-world landmarks like the Eiffel Tower, Roman Colosseum? I can see where they're going with that one, and so on. So quite a long question, that one.
Yeah, so let's break it down. So in terms of how much the AI knows about pop culture, you know, the libraries that we're using like a lot of different libraries with a lot of different images, like millions of images. So, you know, certain pop culture references, they'll know, like, you know, big pop culture references, names of artists, you know, think of it as, you know, if you asked a random adult in the street, like, you know, vaguely describe the Terminator, do you know what the Terminator is? Like, yeah, chances are they'll know it. Chances are the AI knows it. It's like a superhuman, essentially. There are quite obscure terms, like if it's, you know, an obscure actor in an obscure movie, it won't know about and won't be able to produce an image. But yes, like the AI does know about pop culture. Its library of references is quite big. I believe that, yeah, the second question was whether you can morph things like sports logos, the Terra or Luna logo. So yes, the answer is yes. You can, you know, for example, in the monthly morphs, use those logos as a starting image and then morph it. And you know, I think, you know, that's one way to incorporate those logos. I think the libraries that we trained these on, you know, were created maybe a year ago, a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And so, you know, it's likely that if you just said Terra, you wouldn't get anything Terra Luna related. And likewise, if you said Luna, it might just be the moon that's there as well. So I think that's the nuance. And that's why it helps to, you know, use a starting image if you want to get something specific. And then the question about real world historical landmarks like the Eiffel Tower, the Roman Colosseum. I see we have one of the big Colosseum bulls here, Osmansky. Yes, you can create Colosseums, you can create the Eiffel Tower. Those big historical world landmarks are definitely able to be created and recreated using AI.
Excellent. Well, I'm personally looking forward to how my morph comes out, and I'm now satisfied that the pop culture reference will recognise Iron Maiden. So I'll see what comes out. Not the torture device. Hopefully the heavy metal band. Okay. So on to the next question. Where will the monthly morphs be hosted?
Yeah, so we're really happy that Luart will be hosting our monthly morph collection. So it'll be a separate collection each month. So this allows, you know, people that, you know, want to have their NFTs immediately with ease of access to have them immediately. So it's a great partnership. It's a smooth interface. It's really helpful for our holders, and it's something they've been asking for a while. There's also the option as well, because we're giving complete creative and commercial control to holders, to just receive the raw files. And if they receive the raw files, they have the option to mint them wherever they choose, or, you know, choose not to mint them or whatever. So this will mean that, you know, they can set the royalties, you know, at a certain rate, set it up on a blockchain where, you know, one-to-one art might be, you know, more viable to sell as well. But yeah, there's a bit of nuance there in terms of flexibility. And I think as time goes on and as people understand, like how to make the most of monthly morphs and the use cases and the commercial applications of monthly morphs, you might see people moving more towards one or the other. I think the nuance, you know, for me, just thinking about it is, you know, Luart, the collection on Luart of monthly morphs, you know, whereas you can set the sell price at a certain amount, you know, once that sells after that, so, you know, the second, third sale, the royalties will go to a community wallet, which will fund the AI research and development and so on. But, you know, if you chose to do it on another blockchain, so or like another marketplace on Terra, you could set the royalties to go to yourself. You could play around with the description, with the metadata further. You could even make edits. Like we had Inner Terrain, so a musician who's part of our community, add music to a video morph. And so, yeah, it opens up possibilities for things you can do with the AI, like not just have the morph be the end product, but use the image or the video that you generate to create, you know, beautiful art that's, you know, part of something bigger as well.
Excellent. And just to follow up on the Luart collections, essentially, you're going to have a time-stamped collection every month of the morphs that have been submitted at that point in time, which will, I guess, over time, build up into a quite a large library on Luart for those who choose to mint it there.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's exciting for us in a few ways, and it's something we've thought a lot about. I think, you know, clearly we're doing quite well on Luart at the moment, but there's room for things to grow, of course. I think, you know, being a collection of only 750 means that, you know, we will have to work hard at getting the amount of unique holders up and people interested in our, you know, art and our products out there. So like it's part of the way that we're planning to expand our reach beyond the Terra ecosystem, within the Terra ecosystem as well, through producing these pieces that more people can hold. I think this monthly morph, I think, will take maybe a few months for people to fully understand and clue into what they are. Like, it's something that hasn't been done before in NFTs. But I think as time goes on, as people understand the capabilities of the AI, that traction will continue to grow and grow.
Excellent. So I look forward to seeing what everyone comes out with. I think that's the beauty of it. It's a community-inspired series of monthly collections. So the next question really links to something you already touched upon in terms of the royalties aspect. So what percentage of the community collection will be kept as royalties? Brackets, is it the same as the main collection? And what are the plans for the treasury wallet spend? I think you've already touched upon this, but probably good to expand a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. So I believe it's like a 6% fee or something like that from Luart. 1.5, I believe, goes to Luart. 1.5 goes to, or 1%. 1% is the fee. 1.5%, I believe, and don't quote me on this, goes towards Lua Power or staking, and then 3.5% goes towards the wallet nominated. So people have been asking, like, how financially we can sustain these monthly morphs. And the reason is, you know, royalties. Like, we will be using the royalties and funneling it all right back into the production of these AI generated morphs, as well as sort of research and development to keep improving them. I think what was really interesting for people that had followed our project since we launched publicly in November up until our launch, you know, just a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, was just how much the art style changed. Like, we were essentially every week tinkering with the back end with the AI to make things more scalable, to make things, you know, the art style we wanted, or like the range of art styles we wanted as well. So I guess it's that constant research and development that makes us a bit unique as well. Like, there's a product we've created, but we're also, yeah, we've got some mad scientists on the team that like are just really vying to make it a compelling product.
Excellent. And I think that's the beauty of this project. It's ever morphing and ever changing in the way it goes. And as you know, I'm a big fan. Next question on the AMA. Will there be additional utility announced?
Yes, there will be additional utility announced. So, yeah, I suppose one question that came out and that we were really sort of conscious about was, you know, we gave special utility in the monthly morphs to certain holders. So those were Apex Predators, Salvation, Inner Sanctum, and Portal holders. This isn't the extent of what we have planned. I think monthly morphs, you know, despite how cool they are, despite being a key part of the project, aren't even the coolest part of our project, if I'm thinking about the next few months. And you know, I'm there's a question at the end, I'm sure, that we can answer around what's next or whatever, that we'll dive into that. We're keeping it pretty tight to our chest. But yes, additional utility is definitely something that we have planned. We've mentioned, you know, exploring the storytelling aspect and the lore of our collection. And a lot of the utility will be around that, you know, as well as, you know, additional collaborations with, you know, Lighthouse projects to be able to, you know, get whitelists for our holders or NFTs for our holders, which we've, you know, been doing in the past week as well.
Excellent. And a nice teaser there. I'm sure there'll be lots of people on this call, myself included, very excited to see how that all develops. So on to the next one. Are there any plans by the team to develop a mechanism to create art on behalf of others, using one's Dystope AI and in a trustless way?
Yeah, so we thought a lot about it as a team. We currently don't have plans to set that up. I think we floated the idea of producing a morph token, so, you know, a morph coin even,
where people could, you know, receive a Morph token every month, have it airdropped to their wallets, and they could sell it on to someone for that person to then, you know, create a Morph in a trustless way. There are a few key issues with that, though. You know, one being that we have a range of different Morphs, you know, Infinity Zooms, Infinity Zoom Duos, Video Morphs, that make it complicated to set up that infrastructure using coins. There's also the problem of, you know, potential demand shocks where, you know, people collect coins and then all of a sudden, you know, there are, you know, 15,000, you know, images we have to do in a month. So at the moment, no, we don't have plans for this to be done, not in the way that things are going at the moment. We do plan to bolster the form that we're using in the submission process, but that won't be by using, you know, a Morph coin, for example.
Okay, thank you. No, that's interesting. I can see the concern about people stockpiling and suddenly sending you 300 requests in a day or something, which would not be good. So what is DystopeAI's marketing strategy is the next question.
Yeah, this is a really, really great question. And it's one that, you know, even before launch, you know, for the past few months, we've been sort of developing and making sure we get right, because I think there are two tensions, right? Like, one is this project has done really well and the floor price has risen to, you know, I don't know what it is. Like, maybe it's 17 Luna last time I checked. And, you know, I think it'll continue to rise as people, you know, get onto monthly Morphs, although I won't speculate about floor prices. The other tension there is that we're a small collection of only 750 pieces. And then the other tension as well is that, you know, we want to keep things relatively scarce and want to keep things rare, because that's where a lot of the value is derived from. So from a marketing sense, you know, on the face of it, it might look like we're at a disadvantage to those big 10,000 PFP collections where there are more holders, therefore more engagement on Twitter, therefore more engagement on Discord. I think, you know, what has been really good for us, though, is the ability to collaborate meaningfully using AI. And so this was a big part of our marketing push pre-launch. I think the other useful aspect we have to consider is that, you know, although we don't have 10,000 NFTs and, you know, 10,000 holders, we have a really, really creative community. And, you know, we've been really trying to attract creative people, and our Discord is full of creative people. And, you know, being able to create these monthly Morphs, I think, will open up the door for a lot of organic reach and organic marketing. Having said that, though, like, I'm well aware, and the team is well aware, of how competitive the NFT market is, how I think, even if you don't, you know, do something every day, if there's not a big announcement every, you know, 2 weeks, month, you know, things start to change rapidly. I think market cycles are very, very rapid in the NFT world. So, you know, marketing for us is something that is crucial and critical. And, you know, even in the design of, you know, the next 3 months and how we incorporate different things, we've thought about that marketing aspect. We're setting up partnerships with some really big projects that we, you know, haven't collaborated with before. And we're sort of thinking through ways without necessarily, or executing on ways that without necessarily diluting the value of our collection, we'll get more people excited.
Excellent. I'm tempted to ask, but I won't on this call, if you could tease out any potential collaboration alpha, but I'll leave that to you to ever think about. On to the next question. Could you elaborate a little bit on the vision for the morphed NFTs? Will the morphed NFTs be JPEG art, or is there any other plan or use cases associated with them?
Yeah, so I guess that's part of how we, you know, choose to market things and how we choose to grow our community. These morphed NFTs won't be able to create new morphs, for example. I think that'd be unsustainable and dilute the value of our main collection. What I will say, though, is just like in the past where we rewarded people that were active and early in our Discord, we try and reward people that are engaging with what we create. And so, you know, without giving away too much, if you hold a monthly morph, so if you're someone on this call that can't afford a Dystope AI because of the floor price, yeah, you will get certain benefits by holding the morphed NFTs. So the community collection that we've done post-mint, that we'll do post-mint. So the derivatives, so the monthly morphs we have on Luard, yes, you will receive, think of it as like a ticket to ride for future endeavors in the Dystope AI universe.
Excellent. And that's one way to also expand that base of engaged Dystope AI owners. I like that approach. So the next question, do you plan on ever releasing a new collection from the team itself?
Yeah, so we don't plan to release a collection with the same utility. That's something that we would only do if our holders were all in agreement that that's something we should do. But it's our vision that we don't create something that ever has this capability of monthly morphs the way it looks like now. Like, I think it's a really, really special gift that holders have. It's a really special utility, and we want to keep that scarce. Having said that, though, we've always planned a vision of what the Dystope AI universe looks like. And as we explore that universe, things will start to emerge. For example, we live in this, we're all part of this apocalyptic world where there are five regions, and each of these regions will be explored in time. The interesting question and the open question that I have for our community is, what characters, what heroes and what villains do you see? Because we've also thought a lot about that.
That's very cool. I think that could be the subject of a whole follow-up conversation. Next question. And it's quite a big question, really, yeah, for a relatively small number of words. What's next for Dystope AI?
Yeah, this is a good question. Yeah, so Rosie and I think what's next in the afternoon is a beer while sitting on Discord. What's next for the week? That's pushing out the monthly morphs, so letting people see what they created. It's continuing to collaborate or work out some partnerships with some key projects. Then I think really exploring the storytelling aspect and the universe of Dystope AI, as well as introducing those new aspects that I sort of hinted at in the previous question around, you know, the different things inside the universe that we can explore and investigate together.
Excellent. So a relatively quiet time ahead by the sound of things. No, that's fantastic. Lots of things about to hit. Last one for this first section, then I'll delve into the live Discord. And obviously anyone on the call, please do drop your additional questions as you're listening. Are you able to expand on the Twitter handle AI powered metaverse and what it means? And I'm intrigued by this one as well.
Yeah, so a lot of projects start with characters and, you know, post-haste, create the lore, create the world. And we're doing this a different way. We've been really investigating the lore and the universe through each and every one of our NFTs. We've been building a world, and there's a reason we've been building a world. And that reason is because we're going to the metaverse. Dystope AI will be in the metaverse. This is something we've been hinting at for ages now, for months, because it's something we've been planning for months. And it's the first time we're publicly saying it. But yes, we have plans to go to the metaverse. And what this looks like, and I'm very excited for it, will be announced, I would say, about in a month from now.
Fantastic. Again, I'm saying this a lot on this call. I very much look forward to that reveal as well. I think it's fantastic. So I'm just delving into the Discord now, and I can see that there are a few questions that have been dropped in relatively recently. First one is, will stargazing work for a style of morph of an image, or should I enter as a universe slash futuristic sci-fi?
Yeah, so this is relating to the monthly morphs, and I believe, yes, so Rosie is our, Rosie is our AI prompt expert, so I'll let Rosie handle this question.
Yeah, sure. Stargazing, if you're going for like a spacey effect, there's probably much better words than stargazing, like nebula, Milky Way, outer space, supernova, prompts like that will give you much more gorgeous space results than going for stargazing. If you're looking for, if you're kind of looking at that starry night effect, like under a night sky is something we've used in the past that's come up pretty beautifully.
Excellent. So I guess the challenge when you're actually submitting, you don't know what the output's going to be. It's not like you can sort of play on the fly, but very exciting. I can see a response coming in now, so I may have a follow-up in a moment. There's one more question that's been submitted actually during the course of this. Milky Way sounds cool, says Captain Jida. Enjoy. Good luck with that morph. Be fascinating to see how that turns out. So there's a question here about the generation of the artwork. From XXXDDDXXX user, because it looks like you're using Disco Fusion / VQ GAN collabs to create the art currently. Will you use the funding to move further into AI development, or continue to use what is open source and freely available to generate the artwork?
And we've got Walter DeHill that's here as a listener, but he can step up and answer this in more detail. But essentially, like what we how we plan to use the funds from the royalties is to do a few things. Like obviously marketing is one aspect. Then on the AI side, there's, you know, further optimizing our data pipeline to be able to get these outputs quicker. As well as passing different libraries, you know, that are open source, but then tinkering with things ourselves, as Walter has done already. So Walter is here. He has stepped up to the mic and he is just connecting. Walter, can you hear us? Walter, you're muted. Yeah, we might not have him at the moment, but yes, like we are planning to expand on that in a few different ways, both using and tweaking open source tools, and then, you know, also, you know, around the data pipeline, how we do things, even just like spending time experimenting and delving into those open source tools, because there's a lot of space there to use things differently.
And sorry, might I add on to the top of that? So even with the open source things like VQGAN, there's always new additions, new upgrades to it, like something called modeling ensembling has come up in the last few months. So there's always R&D to do for us to integrate and make the artwork look even more spectacular than it already does.
Excellent. And we have another question that's just come in again from Captain Jida, following our previous reply. So question on the future development of AI, are you planning to use any kind of machine learning or deep learning features?
So Walter, can you hear us?
Yeah, sorry, I just had a technical interrupt. Walter, AI person on the stage. So it's a great question, even the last one, which I couldn't quite address. I'll try and address them both in one swoop. So yes, there's a lot of open source tools being used. The main reason for that, though, is because training these neural nets and training these GANs is such a difficult process. Like, you can't necessarily come up with, you know, 400 million plus images to put into your model going forward. So we will continue to use open source tools for the bits where this huge data requirement is a factor. But then for bits, as Rosie mentioned, where you can take open source tools and then turn them into, say, new methods to, you know, make pieces that we want to provide utility with, that's something that we're researching actively. So going away from things like VQGAN, it's more into how do you use these models to generate, say, different types of artwork? So say moving pieces is one example. Can you tell a story through these, for example? Like all those kinds of pieces remain for us to explore. That's kind of what we're actively looking into. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. You've seen some of these with the likes of the Infinity Zoom Duo, which flips between two different scenes. That's what Mikachu and I typically tend to be researching presently.
Excellent. Thank you. And it's not a question, but just a kind of acknowledgement from, I'm going to call him now, XXX, XXD, XXX. I guess it's probably easier to say, isn't it? So I still think there's a magic around. I think the comment here is around sort of feeling that the discovery of the open source has taken away a bit of the magic. I think the magic is in the creation and the use of words and the ability of individuals to actually interact and out of your imagination produce something. So I think it's absolutely still there. That's my personal view. So don't be too disheartened. I think things will only get more exciting. And we do have one more question that's literally just come in from Chemlone. What is your opinion on the continuing of the law from holders? Everyone's free to morph whatever they want. But what about the law? How do you plan to move forward with this fantastic futuristic world?
Yeah, and so, you know, the monthly morphs, they're not canon in the sense that, like, you know, you could say, you know, Snoop Dogg in a jungle smoking a doobie. And, like, this isn't part of Dystopia. We don't imagine Snoop Dogg in the apocalypse right now, at least. But, like, yes. Storytelling and the storytelling aspect of our project is yet to come. And the way we're going to do that is by deep diving into certain aspects of the universe and deep diving into, you know, cause and effect, like what happened, how did we get here? And I'm super excited for it. And I think you all will be as well, because it will involve airdrops, and that's some of the utility to certain other traits that we haven't rewarded yet that will be coming soon.
Excellent. I think that whole future dystopian world of the four regions and the ocean absolutely grips me in my imagination, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that all develops. I can see two people furiously typing. Sorry, go on.
And so I suppose just to address that previous comment about AI art and sort of the magic being taken away. Like, I think for sure there are, like, you know, if you look at other blockchains or even within Terra, there are other sort of AI-based projects, like Monstera is one, for example. I think what's really compelling about Dystope AI is that we've created a world and we've created a clear narrative using AI, and we've created a universe that people can explore using AI. And, you know, that's just the starting point for us. As we mentioned, it's not just AI that's at the heart of our project. It's in the name, yes, but it's almost a red herring, because I think in the next 2 months, like, people will understand why we're creating a world and the different aspects that will go into there as well. So I'm super excited about that.
Excellent. I think you're not the only one. There's a lot of people looking forward to seeing how that develops. There's one more question. I think it's more of a technical one. Could you guys create something like in-motion event? An example there being GIF. I don't think that has been asked, actually.
Can we create something like in-motion event? So, yeah, like, we are allowing with the monthly morphs for holders of certain secret attributes. So Salvation holders, Inner Portal holders, and Inner Sanctum holders to create different sort of in-motion morphs. So these include time-lapse morphs, so the morph you create to slowly be generated by AI and have the video of that. Infinity zooms, where you create a landscape and you get this crazy zooming effect in a video, as well as Infinity Zoom Duos, where it, you know, constantly zooms in, but then flips and changes into a different scene as well with that zoom. So, you know, these are the things that we've, you know, developed at this stage.
Excellent. And I think it's fair to say you'll continue to push the boundaries, and as more opportunities and more developments in the AI technology come to life, you're at the forefront of an opportunity to embrace that.
Absolutely.
So there is one more question's come through, this time from Schrutbook. I apologize if I'm mangling any of these usernames. How does the landscape morph work? Do we plug into the description, the lore, or the story into the AI, or is it just a couple of sentences? And how long are they generally for an output?
Yeah, so I'll let Rosie tackle this one, who's been our sort of monthly morph expert.
Yeah, sure. So that landscape is unrelated to your underlying DystopAI NFT. It's, you can create whatever you want, just let your imagination run wild. So it's not connected to the underlying traits of your DystopAI. In terms of, you know, what to put in for the prompt, I did a fairly long kind of prompt 101 guide in our monthly morph channel. So have a good read of that. But in terms of how long it should be, we've typically used, you know, around a sentence or a fairly descriptive sentence. But look, that's just typically what we've used. The honest truth is there's still a lot more to learn about prompt writing, and look, you can try to do something longer and, you know, go as wild as you want. I just can't promise what's going to come out the other end. So in short, probably around a sentence is a decent length.
Excellent. So not War and Peace. Could be interesting to see what comes out of that, but probably not a good one. I think someone could probably post a passage or two and see what comes out. So there's no more questions appearing at the moment on the Discord. However, if there's anyone, obviously, in the audience listening right now, would like to step forward and ask a live verbal question, I'm sure the team would love to hear from you.
Yeah, just before we do that, Super Terror, what did you morph this month?
Well, I've gone for two, and they're both related to one of my other loves, Lunar Balls. So some of you may have seen, there's a whole raft of communities forming around Lunar Balls at the moment, several of which have contacted me, and I'm having some very fun conversations with them. So the first one is related to the Zebra Balls. I'm not actually submitting a Zebra Ball, but I'm interested to see potentially how the stadium for the forthcoming Super Bowl morphs. So I've actually submitted the Rams Stadium, if anyone is an NFL fan on the call, to see how that comes out, obviously with the Super Bowl coming up in a couple of weeks. And the second one is a written statement around bulls. I've just basically said something along the lines of a Mecha Bull goes to an Iron Maiden concert and meets Eddie. So it's a test there, because obviously Eddie being the Iron Maiden mascot, will the popular culture reference pick it up? Whatever happens, I think it's going to be great fun. So I'm looking forward to seeing how those two turn out, and I will be sharing those on social when they do. So as I say, both very loosely Lunar Balls linked, but to be honest, just great fun, and looking forward to seeing what comes out.
Likewise, yeah. I mean, already there's been a lot of cool prompts, or like people have been reaching out on Discord and letting us know what they've submitted. So I'm really looking forward to catching all of those when they're outputted.
Yeah, I mean, similarly, I've been reading through the Discord and there's some brilliant creative thoughts from the community. I also love the lore around the individual pieces from the collection. I did my own kind of horrific vision of a hellish future a couple of weeks ago, and I'm quite enjoy reading some of those kind of visions of the story behind the pieces. So no, it's great. It's a fantastic community to be involved in, and I think going back to the question around the magic of the art, I think the magic of the art is the creativity that everyone is bringing to this, whether it's the written word, other visions, and also just the general way the community is coalescing around a very exciting project.
Definitely. Like all of this, like when you step back and think about it, yes, the AI is one aspect of it, but it, you know, it's really our community that's pushing the lore, and will be pushing the lore as we do the storytelling aspect, and will be pushing out, you know, these beautiful pieces that we've already seen with the drop of the Hellcat scenes from Hell collab, mm-hmm. where, you know, people designed that, you know, these crazy looking scenes from hell. That was our community that designed that. So yeah, community driven is definitely what this project is all about.
Absolutely. And also obviously with the Hellcats collab, I'm looking forward to see what my couple of Hellcats come back with as well. So I think that, yeah, for me, that there's so many things going on, and you've already teased out several other major developments that are probably not too far down the line. Obviously, post you having a very well-deserved beer later today and your follow-up work on the morphs. Doesn't look like we've got any more questions coming through in the Discord. I obviously can't see if anyone's doing the speaker request, because I am a speaker rather than a host on this call. I mean, if not, happy to hand back to you for closing remarks.
Definitely. I mean, yeah, once again, thank you all for joining, and for those listening at home, post the release of the recording, definitely keep reaching out when you have questions in the Contact Us channel, or, you know, feel free to DM us as well. I think we just want to thank the community again for being so receptive to our project and the way that we've been doing things. It's been a massive few weeks for the team. Like, you know, we generated 640 images, was it, Rosie? Like, well, some crazy amount of hellscapes. We're going to create another, you know, potentially 750 of these monthly morphs, and that's, you know, now starting at the moment. So yeah, like we've got a lot planned. You've been a project that's been listed now for just under 2 weeks, but yeah, we're super excited about where things are going and feel really supported and loved by our community. We just always feel so incredibly lucky to have such creative, caring, collaborative people in our Discord and on Twitter that are really excited about, you know, what we're doing. So, you know, you can't ask for more as a creator.
Marvelous. I just want to say thank you very much for reaching out and asking me to host this tonight. It's an absolute honor and a surprise. I was literally just planning a quiet Thursday evening in, but no, this is really great and really nice to you know, chat with you all and obviously engage with the community. So thank you as well, because I think that's one of the things that really appeals to me is you're a very open and very friendly project, and there's a lot of love in the community for Dystope AI.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, we absolutely had to invite you. So for those that don't know, like, you know, pre-launch even, we collaborated with Superterra, you know, asking people to describe different scenes. And then, you know, on loop, you know, Superterra has written a number of articles about us. So, you know, was an early sort of adopter, or like found Dystope AI very early. He had his finger on the pulse. And, you know, as well as being a great writer, has branched into posting things in the audio space, and is doing a killer job at it. So yeah, we were super, super keen to sit down with you.
Well, thank you. As I say, absolute honor on my part as well. And, it is amazing how the Terra space evolves. And if someone had said to me even 8 or 9 months ago I'd be hosting spaces and talking to lots of really cool creative people, I would have checked my pulse. But no, it is fantastic.
Definitely. It's such an exciting space we're in. So, yeah, always, always keen to have chats with people and to do things like this. So, really glad that we were able to answer some of our community's questions today. Excellent. Well, with that, we will end up. Big shout out again to Terra Spaces, aka to Finn, aka to Jamhol, for recording this, and then to edit that. Make sure you tip that man. He deserves it. We'll be tipping him as well. But yeah, thank you so much, everyone, and we will see you on the Discord.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the Dystope AI AMA hosted by Superterra, recorded on Thursday, February 3rd, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of the Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Visit OC's What We Do page using the link in the show notes to take advantage of some of their other educational resources, including weekly meetups to discuss Terra protocols, strategies, and concepts, the Terra Luna Intel Report on Telegram, and YouTube explainer videos on Terra concepts. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Put your hands up like you got a couple questions. Ain't no misdirection, just a bunch of flexing. All aggressive, insane from all directions. Smoke rolls in when I start a session. Blank canvas, blaze up the handlers. Rocking back and forth like I got the van stuck. Don't grind the clutch, mind you hush. Put your mask on and don't touch the antlers. Feeling untouchable when I'm on the verse. But in the universe, I'm just writing some words. Enticing these nerds while I'm laying out my memoirs. Like, remember when I had to fight the centaur? I'm a book nerd, let me take you on the journey. Lost in the labyrinth, searching out the lost fern. For certain, got the taxes included. Acting like a writer, never felt secluded. Shit and line them up. Just another fixed game of try my luck. Go lighten up, dog. It could always be worse. Unless you're in the back of a hearse, then you're dead or putting in new speakers. It's a toss up, driver or just tweakers. Don't stress, yo. I've done the research. Living life like a bunch of fucking lemurs. It's a remake off the cutting floor. We take a little bit of poison and put it in the cheesecake. Tastes great, less filling, less stress, more killing. As he blew the cornerstone out the building and the blocks came tumbling down, all humble. Feels like we're drowning in a little puddle. Rebuttal? I should be taking off in the shuttle, getting high in space with the Hubble. Spaces.